Welcome to Film Forum's podcast. The following event was recorded on January 21st, live at our theaters located at 209 West Houston Street in Manhattan.
It's 2018 now, but last year in 2017 was the centenary of Ruchi's birth. I just came from running a conference actually with some of the people that were just mentioned, and it was just extraordinary to see the enduring love and interest of Ruchi's work that was all over Paris during that time. We ran a conference on Ruchi's influence and work in the United States, particularly in that period in the late 70s and early 80s when he was teaching courses at Harvard and also on the campus of Hampshire College, which is where I first met him. And I know there's at least one person here who studied with him at one of the Harvard seminars. Hugely influential. And at those seminars, he always had people with him like Ricky Leacock. I think Penny Baker came to at least one of them when it was in Cambridge. So there was a huge amount of dialogue between the what he would have called the direct cinema work of the American filmmakers and the Vérité work that was very much associated with Ruchi's work and name. And they are very distinctly different, although they were all interested in the possibilities of this new technology and the emergence by around 1960 of sync sound as a possible way to record reality and try and get at to get past the kind of idea of cinema that Hollywood had introduced. So also, for those who don't know it, his work becomes very, very influential when he starts moving to what become ethnofiction works, many of the filmmakers in the French New Wave, particularly Jean-Luc Godard. So he has a very interesting history. In this period that we're looking at right here for the films today, these films were shot in 1954, both of them, and released in 1955, which was famously always tinkering with films and then re-releasing different versions. So there are different release dates for a lot of them. But basically, these came out in 1955. They both were made in what was then called Gold Coast, which became Ghana, in 1957. So they're very interesting documents also of the pre-independence period, just on the cusp. As we see in another film, which is part of the series, Jaguar, you see some rallies with Kwame Nkrumah, who of course becomes the first leader of Ghana during independence, and very, very famous part of the kind of post-colonial African political scene. So very quickly, just to say a little bit about each film, we're fortunate that these films have been restored so beautifully and brought to circulation in the U.S. by Icarus, one of our important distributors. Is anyone here from Icarus? Anyway, so these are now like just released. So it's great. It's wonderful to have them in as part of to understand them as part of this whole period, 50s going into the 60s and beyond, of the emergence and evolution of Vérité. So the first one, Mammy Water, is really pretty much a straight documentary, not what people start to associate with Ruchi, but it's very much how he started. He was completely self-taught. As I said, he had a wind-up camera that I think had 3 minutes. Takes and sound was taken by Damaray and Lum. And this was in a Fonte fishing village to the southwest of Accra, which is one of the major cities of Ghana. And what you really see there is the way the fishing season opens with tributes and tributes to what's called, which is called in the language circulating then, Mammy Water, or the spirit of the sea, really, that gives fishermen either their luck or their bad luck, I guess. So we misfortune, yeah, thank you. So we see a number of different things that are happening, and like many, especially ethnographic documentary filmmakers of the time, he pretty much went with what was happening around him. So there's a funeral of a high priestess, there's the opening of the fishing season with the king of Shama, there's a lot of kind of just ritual activity that you see, and some failed fishing, and then the sort of successful opening of the season. Almost all his films, unlike the American direct cinema tradition, Ruchi does the voiceover for his films. He has such a distinctive voice. They're really interesting if you're a student of cinema, because there is no singular form of voiceover. It depends so much on the relationship of the person who's voicing it to the material. And you feel the intimacy and deep knowledge that he has with the material that you're seeing. And he has a very you know, in some of the later films, he quotes French surrealist poetry and other, he takes a lot of really wonderful liberties that gives the films all their wonderful character that made Ruch such a, has made him such a fixture of the film world. The second film, Les Maîtres Fous, or The Mad Masters, is probably the film that really put him on the map. He had been working in that area of Accra. He had been studying the migration of poor of young men from Niger or Niger, who especially people from the Songhai groups, who it was really a kind of a longstanding tradition that they would go during the dry season to the coast to make money and also to have adventures. He had been doing sort of sociological work, and he felt it was very dry, and it didn't, although it showed how impoverished people were, it didn't show capture their spirit and the incredible kind of adventure that emerged, as he calls it, in the beginning of the film, the great adventure of African cities. And historically, a lot of anthropologists were working in very remote kind of areas outside the city and kind of remote areas, and they weren't looking at the kind of mixture and cultural catalysm, the catalyst of the mixing of all these cultures in these other kinds of locations, like in Accra, where you see workers coming from all over the place. In any case, there was a traditional cult called the Hauka cult, which continued to evolve in the context of what was going on there. And it's he was invited, one of the leaders of that group asked him to come and make this film. He really did not know what he was going to see. So when you watch this film, if you're a filmmaker, he's walking around with Domery taking sound, not having any idea what was going to happen. It's a remarkable film just from that point of view. But what we see in there is these people go into possession. So content alert. There's a lot of stuff that's really difficult to watch for some people, but it's also very much everyone takes on the persona as they become possessed of colonial officers, and so it's quite an extraordinary film. So just to kind of wrap up and give you a little bit of context, when he first finished the film and showed it in Paris in around 1956, people were horrified by it, and the African intellectuals said this will make people. Everyone will think we're horrible racists who participate in these kinds of ceremonies, and people were very concerned. And in any case, while the British colonial government at the time, which was soon to be overthrown, objected to some of the ways in which they were portrayed. In any case, time marches on, and this film actually has become a hugely influential film. It's actually shown, considered now part of a national treasure both in Niger and Ghana. So it's had an interesting life. What he was really trying to do was show, in quotes, the kind of rationality of this kind of activity for people who are living under the yoke of colonialism at the time. And of course, in 1957, everything changes, and the cult goes on and evolves in quite different ways. But that's for another time and another story. Anyway, so I hope you get a sense. These are then what's remarkable. If you look at these, both released in 55, is by 58 he makes this film Moi Noir, which is showing right after this, and it's an ethnofiction. It's a completely different film. He works with people living in the slums of Trècheville to actually who enact and dramatize the circumstances of their lives, and no one had ever tried to do that, and so it's a radical change, but the roots of it are really in what happened to him when he shot Maîtres Fous. So if you have the chance to stay on and see, and then that moves on to Jaguar, many of the other famous, or the ethnofictions for which he's most famous. We were just saying that he made over 120 films in his life, and only about 8 of them are really circulating in the Anglophone world or in the U.S. So it's really wonderful to have at least these important films being shown here at Film Forum. So I hope you enjoy that, and it's good to be here. The nice day will be there right after the films. It's really great you're here to watch them.
Thank you for listening to Film Forum's podcast. Visit us online at filmforum.org, where you can learn more about our films, memberships, subscribe to our free weekly e-newsletter, and to find out the ways you can support our nonprofit cinema. And if you have the time, please visit our iTunes page and leave a rating and review of our podcasts. Copyright to this program belongs to The Moving Image Incorporated.